the Dale and Skinner's Absolute Radio Podcasts.
So we're going to be going to the game, England-Slovenia, and we don't know because this one's in Port Elizabeth.
Are you planning to wear the colours today?
Well, I have one England shirt, which is a kind of sort of rather fashionable...
It's not a replica shirt.
It's an England... I just think I'm too old and slightly too portly to wear. Slightly too portly Elizabeth to wear an England shirt. Are you going to wear something?
I'm going to wear a scarf. You know scarf I bought? We went to Brazil... who did they play?
North Korea? No, we didn't.
No.
Brazil, Ivory Coast.
Ivory Coast, yeah. That's who they play.
Well, yeah. Thank God for these podcasts, otherwise we wouldn't even remember we were here.
Exactly.
It's just an aid memoir for
that's
us.
That's all it is. These will be played back to us when we're 80.
Yeah.
God willing. Anyway, they have vendors along the long walk to the stadium, and I saw an African man with England scarves. So I said, how much of those? And he said 70 rand, which is about 7 quid.
Mm.
No, he said 50 rand. Mm. And I said, okay. And then he said, oh, no, I meant 70.
So you didn't haggle. You got to haggle, otherwise they assume you're an easy target.
Well, I didn't haggle, but I thought, a fiver for a scarf, that's all right. I thought, I'm here as a representative of the...
And let's face it, you lost quite a lot of money with AIG, but you're still doing better than that street vendor.
No, probably.
So you can afford, I think.
Exactly.
He may have lost some money with AIG.
I
doubt it. He's never been on Desert Island Discs, so who knows?
Anyway, he's probably been on a desert island.
Yeah.
Anyway, I decided to... I said, yeah, okay, I'll pay that. And then he said, oh, no, I meant 70. And I went, So I did the thing. I did the thing I told you to do. I walked on.
Yeah.
And you said you didn't buy the scarf. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm not going to be ripped off by... I think I said these people. I'm not proud of that, but that's what I said.
Yeah, I think you did.
Anyway, and then he came racing along and he went, okay, then. He said, 50. He said, buy two for 100. I said, no, I just want one for 50. And he said, you should support Africa.
Yeah.
I said, well, why sell me an England scarf? But I felt a bit bad after. I thought, God, should I give him a load of money for that? I mean, it's a horrible scarf in many ways.
It's really a nasty little scarf, isn't it?
No, but that's true. But I felt a scarf... It's not often you get an opportunity to wear a scarf at a World Cup, because usually it's blistering heat.
Yes.
I'll tell you what I'm not keen on. Yeah. This World Cup. I mean, the Vuvuzelas, they've got a lot of stick, haven't they? They've got enormous stick. But the thing that, for me, I find more annoying than the Vuvuzelas is the big glasses.
The big plastic glasses.
Who thought that was a good thing to do?
And we should, to anyone who hasn't seen this, we don't mean just ordinary Specsavers plastic. You know, these are great big
comedy. People have seen them on the telly.
Five times the size of your face.
They're exactly the ones that Lenny Henry used to wear when he did his Trevor McDonald.
Yeah, and it wasn't a good idea then, let's be honest.
It was a terrible idea.
Terrible idea. So, the weird thing about it is that who thought that was a good idea? I would agree with you. However, it is a good idea because loads and loads of people have bought them.
Well,
commercially, I mean, it's a good idea.
I think, you know, health and safety, I don't think they're under the auspices of an official sponsor.
Yeah.
And also, when people said, go to South Africa to the World Cup, they said to me, you'll see a series of massive spectacles.
Mm.
I didn't think for one second. Thank you. If only we had a trombone. I was having that. I had a thought about the Vuvuzela. You know, they're supposed to have sent a million of them to England.
Have they?
For the new season. Yeah, and they're gonna expect them to feature heavily in English football
in the
next
Premier
season.
League, yes.
Not just the Premier League, but
really
the lower divisions.
Okay.
And I thought that we could use this to our advantage, because I don't know about you, but I've never been a fan of bad language on the terraces.
Mm.
And I thought that the Vuvuzela, you have.
Yeah, I
know. I'm with Cloughley, you know, gentlemen, no swearing, please, Brian.
Yeah.
And I think that it could be a way of clearing up. You know, they beep stuff on television.
Yeah.
You could have that. You could have, like, so you could have fans going, you're going to get your head kicked in.
That's true.
Yeah. Like, it could take children, then it'd be a family sport again, like in the good old days when people had rickets and had no money.
Are you suggesting that people would do that?
Yeah.
That they would all be about to swear and instead blow the Vuvuzelas?
Yeah. Same effect without any offence. Take, for example, my old man said, be an Arsenal fan. I said,
You're a... You missed off.
Well, yeah, I included off as part of a... It's more of a phrase. Right. I thought I'd take the whole phrase.
Okay.
Bedelen Skinner, Lord from South Africa, for Absolute Radio.
So, the discontent in the England camp...
Well, it's been slightly quelled, I think, by Fabio's speech, in which he said that John Terry has made a very big mistake.
Yeah. It's good and that he just referred to the one. He could have said John Terry's made a number of big mistakes. Let's not go through them all here.
No.
But this is just the last one.
Are you suggesting he's gone a bridge too far, one might call it?
Yeah.
I like the idea that he said he's made a very big mistake and now he needs to do a very big performance.
Yeah.
I don't think the Liberal Democrat MP David Law has got that kind of opportunity. I'm imagining this is how the game will go, the England-Slovenia game, is they'll be coming to go up the tunnel and Stephen Gerrard will say, hey, what you doing, John? And he'll say, you know, I thought I'd lead him out, you know. I know, no need for you to trouble yourself. No, I'm the captain. And then when the referee's there, they're suddenly the coin goes into the air and John Terry goes, tails, and he goes, hey, I'm warning you, no, put that pennant down.
I wonder if John Terry is always suggesting people who may have died in order to create confusion around the armband. He looks at the internet and finds some sportsman somewhere who's died, said, I think we ought to all wear armbands for this bloke.
Well, I loved Frank Sidebottom, but I think in being acknowledged in the England-Slovenia game, John Terry is pushing it.
There's no need for that, John. We were wondering why it was that John Terry was even there talking to the press. And apparently they wanted a player just to go out and give the player's reaction. And Franco Baldini drew lots.
Did he?
Yeah. Now, obviously, it shouldn't have been lots. We talked about this yesterday on the radio show. It should have been penalties.
In which case, it would never have been
John Terry, obviously.
Or Frank Lampard.
Yeah.
I can't imagine who it would have been,
actually. What is this obsession with drawing lots?
Could have been Stephen Warnock, then. Stephen Warnock could have gone out and made the big statement. If they draw lots, they draw lots. That's democracy. It could have been anybody.
It's possible that Stephen...
One of the great ironies of John Terry's speech. John Terry seemed to feel very strongly that it's important that the players have a say.
Yeah.
That the manager shouldn't be able to just dictate that the player's opinion is really, really important.
Yeah.
However, when he had an opportunity after the Algeria game to hear the fans' point of view when a bloke just walked into the dressing room, that was an absolute outrage. No one thought this is another marvellous piece of democracy. Let us gather round in a circle and hear his opinion.
In fact, it would have been, I think, Pavlos Joseph should have had a chance to go to the press and say, me and the players had a crisis meeting.
What I like about the whole Pavlov's Joseph story is that Fabio Capello said to them, my door is always open. Yeah. That is certainly true. Anybody could come strolling.
Yeah.
I thought the whole John Terry thing, it reminded me of, I was at a gig once at the Birmingham Odeon in the 70s, and I was in the second row.
Yeah.
And when the band came on, it was a band called Blackfoot Sioux.
Really?
Yeah. I had a big hit with Standing in the Road. And when they came on, I stood up and started dancing.
Right.
Like, really going for it. And I looked over my shoulder, I assumed there would be hundreds behind me doing likewise.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone was in their seats. It was just me.
Yeah.
And I had to I thought, I can't just sit immediately down. I'll dance a bit more.
And you know what? I've never heard of Blackfoot Sioux. I think they packed up soon afterwards out of embarrassment.
Well, I was very embarrassed. But what I had to do was I had to dance. I had to bend my knees and dance a little bit lower. Well, and then I danced a little bit.
You gradually danced back into
your
seat.
I danced back into my seat, and then I danced a bit in my seat.
Oh no!
Shoulder dancing.
You wouldn't give it up.
And then I stopped.
Finally, you stopped.
And that's what happened to John Terry. He got up to dance and looked around, and no one else was dancing.
James Rowe is Sony Ericsson's fly on the ball in South Africa.
Obviously, there's a big game today for South Africa. They're playing France. And for them to beat France 5-0 really is an extreme scoreline. There's a possibility because apparently half of the French players are boycotting the match because of the whole Thierry Henry scandal. So there's still a chance that South Africa can get through. You've got teams like New Zealand who no one would have given the time of day to, but they're a win or a draw away from qualifying and potentially knocking Italy out. I mean, these are the kind of results at the World Cup which just make it such an exciting thing to watch.
The Sony Ericsson Fly on the Ball update. Thanks to Sony Ericsson, official mobile handset of the 2010 FIFA World Cup.
I met a bloke who is a sleep expert.
Oh, yes.
And
where did you meet him?
Well, you know, one gets around to
right.
do.
It wasn't
stuff.
A dreamland or a place with a lot of beds in it.
It was in a dream.
It was in a dream.
I sleep so badly, I've hired a sleep expert to come to me into my dreams. Just to soothe me.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how it's become a whole science around, well, athletes in general, but particularly in football teams.
Mm.
Because obviously it's a problem. If you've got a big game the next day, you're liable to lie away. And he was telling me some of the things that they do. He said that they will have already been, like a few weeks ago, they would have gone into England's hotel, and the rooms where the players are staying, they would have just stripped them, basically. They like to make the rooms as white as possible. So anything that is too big a colour, they would take out. So like even like the bedclothes, they have to be white sheets, white pillowcases, white duvet, no colour. I don't know if it's an away game, the players have to have red shirts, right? But yeah, so that, you know, there was when they set off on the plane, much was made of the fact that Rooney was carrying a musical pillow. Did you see that?
Rooney was carrying a musical pillow?
Yeah.
There's to help him get to sleep?
Yeah, there's
is
a
like
pillow.
Like my six-year-old son has?
Oh, does he have a musical pillow?
Well, he has next to his pillow, he has a light that projects kind of pictures of teddy bears and plays lullabies. Is it a bit like that?
Well, apparently, this guy said to me that the best thing to help you to sleep is white noise. You know, just that kind of...
So the rooms are white and the noise is white.
I'm
worried it's a racist bloke. You've met a racist sleep expert.
These people haven't realised there's been a lot of changes in South Africa.
This bloke is saying keep sleep white, I think.
Yeah, but... So, well, he said that Rooney, before they discovered the musical pillow, that sometimes... if they were sleeping in a hotel the night before a game, Rooney would keep the vacuum cleaner on all night in the room.
Really?
Because he didn't like quiet. He liked to sort of...
Yes,
I get
that. Is it just an ordinary Hoover, or is it one of those robotic ones that goes around and actually cleans by itself?
I'm guessing it's a Henry.
Is it a Henry?
Yeah, I think
right,
so.
Because his room would be incredibly clean if he left a remote-control robotic Hoover on all night.
But I think I think it'd be handy for him to have a Henry in his room because you know in like prison films when people pretend they're in the bed and they put pillows under the thing.
Yes.
If you had the Henry sticking out the top on the pillow, you could believe I think in dull light that was Wayne.
Well, you could believe it was Wayne.
What worries me about the white noise thing is it's not that different a sound from crowd noise.
No.
And I don't want that to be like.
Yeah.
The game starts and players start looking a bit bleary eyed.
Yeah. Similarly, I don't want players when they're asleep to be having dreams about this game's going really badly because the crowd are all booing me.
Yeah, I mean, what about if accidentally Wayne's musical pillow plays the national anthem?
He'd be standing bolt upright in bed.
or vice versa.
Yeah.
You'll come to associate that with lethargy and sleep.
I like to think it might play Three Lions at some point.
Well, I'm not sure about these experts, because I read a whole thing about the dietary expert who's travelling with the England team.
Yeah.
And it gave a list of what they had. It seemed to be mainly sushi and things like piccalilli.
Right.
But the expert actually said, he said, you know, there's things that we take, you know, obviously we're careful with their meals. He said, but we find things like, he said, jam in a sandwich can be an excellent snack. I'm glad you've been paid to tell us that.
What a fantastic
What
expert.
You're thinking of is a sort of a jam sandwich.
Yeah.
I'm liking that idea.
Birdie and Skinner.
So, Bafana have gone out.
It was sad, though. It was, because I thought that it would have been... They kind of deserved it. They got brilliant, enthusiastic support.
Yeah.
Bafana.
Yeah. And what does it mean again? Bafana?
I think it means not that good.
not that good?
Yeah, they're so not that good, they named it twice.
Yeah. Should I do one last Vuvuzela blast for South Africa?
No.
So we've had an email from Daryl Hilton about Fabio Capello. And Daryl says, in these times of uncertainty stroke horror, it makes me happier when anyone mentions Fabio to imagine they are talking about the former male model Fabio, the one that got hit in the face by a goose while on the roller coaster.
Not Jeff a Goose that used to play for the USA.
I don't think it is Jeff a Goose that used to play for the USA. No, I think it's an actual goose.
I wish Jeff a Goose had been at the England-Algeria game. Well, then there wouldn't have been any booing at the end.
Why?
Because they won't say boo to a goose. Oh, you! What? I opened the door. My comedy door is always open.
It's comedy.
You walk straight in.
Fabio Capello. Yeah, it was.
I don't remember. Who is the male model Fabio?
The male model Fabio. It was a big story about 10 years ago. He looks a bit like a young Michael Bolton.
Oh, okay.
And they were opening a roller coaster at some American theme park, and he was there. And it was a big, you know, long, steep bit. Goes over a pond. And as it went over the pond, Fabio was hit in the face by a goose.
That sounds very dangerous.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a model, when your face is your fortune, of course.
Also, it's not clear from any of the reports how long the roller coaster is. So it's possible that he was hit in the face by a goose and that was carrying on going up and down and up and down for ages with bits of goose all over his face.
Oh, like some terrible poultry head, yeah, man.
Sort of tarred and feathered almost, yeah. Fabio.
I watched Sky News in my hotel room the other night.
Yeah.
And they had a woman journalist on going through the papers. She was about 50. And by her own confession, didn't know much about football. But she referred to Capelli. She kept saying what Capelli needs to do.
Really?
And she wasn't corrected by the man interviewing her.
Oh. Well, yeah, but that means Capellis. In Italian, if you want to pluralise something, you add I.
Oh, dear.
So that suggests that there's a number of Fabio Capellos, yeah. If I was going to talk about the Capellos, the family of Capellos, I would say I Capelli.
Would you really?
Yeah. So perhaps she imagined there's various Fabio Capellos knocking about.
So is this why people say Trevor Francisi?
Yes. Here's an email from Ronan Mehigan. Dear David and Frank, I was wondering why players who are fast are sometimes referred to as speed merchants. Well, firstly, I'm not that aware of that, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that many times.
Have you? Okay.
Also, isn't John Terry's dad sometimes referred to as a speed merchant?
Sometimes. According to Wikipedia, the speed merchant was a named train of the Boston and Maine Railroad between Boston, Massachusetts and Portland, Maine.
Oh, you know something, I love Wikipedia.
Could this be the origin of the phrase speed merchant for describing a fast football player? Maybe this phrase should be updated, says Ronan, to a more modern reference. Sean Wright Phillips could be a real TGV. Aaron Lennon could be a veritable Shinkansen. What is that?
Well, he says in brackets Japanese, does he? I presume it's a Japanese truck.
I think it's a very fast Japanese train. It's a bullet train.
Oh, it's a train, okay.
Yeah. And Jamie
it's a bullet train.
It's a bullet train.
Is that the proper name for the bullet train?
Because he's fast, Aaron Lennon. He's a speed merchant.
He is.
And Jamie Carragher could be the Docklands Light Railway. That's what he's been heading towards, Ronan, this whole thing.
But I like the Aaron Lennon thing about him being like a... Like Japanese train. Wouldn't that be a very, very fast train that didn't actually go anywhere?
Yes, that would be.
So, are you confident?
About the match?
Yeah.
I am fairly confident, yes. I think we should win the game.
I'll tell you what, clearly we're a better team than Slovenia. Have you ever seen Mr. Saturday Night, a film with Billy Crystal?
I have.
Do you remember there's a bit in that where him and his brother, as kids, they sort of do a double act for their family at home and have the family in absolute stitches, and eventually they get a booking to perform at a proper gig on a stage in front of a proper audience. And they're both set to go, and the brother suddenly says, I can't do this, I can't do it. And so Billy Crystal has to go up on his own, and he's a star.
Mm.
And then years later, when Billy Crystal is very, very famous, the brother says to him, you know, oh, it could have been me and all that. And Billy says, no, it couldn't have been you. You were living room funny.
Right.
But when it came to getting up there, you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And that's what I worry about with the England team. But I think they are the football version of living room funny.
They're living room footballers.
Yeah, they're great in the Premiership.
Yeah.
Great on the training ground. Great even in the qualifying rounds. But when you get up there...
Yeah. Yeah.
But for all that, it could click. One day it will click.
I think we're going to win. I've said it. We are going to win.
Yes, I think so too.
The Dale and Skinner's Absolute Radio Podcasts.